welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Keys of the Kingdom's series this morning, which will go over 3.5 hours by the time we're done. We'll do a half-hour warm-up here on the topic of today, and then we'll move on to 2 hours on LibertyRadioLive.com. And then this afternoon we'll do a Freedomizer show, a Sabbath hour, for 1 hour. And we'll try to cover the topics that we have set for ourselves today, which has to do with a votary. What's a votary? Actually, one definition of a votary is a believer. Synonyms are addict, adherent, admirer, aficionado, amateur, buff, devotee, disciple, enthusiast, fanatic, follower, votarist, and zealot. So what is a votary? Well, it's somebody who votes. It's from the same word as vote. We're going to be exploring what it means to vote. A lot of people talk to me and say over the years, because I don't vote in elections in the country of the United States for choosing different bureaucrats in the United States, and so therefore, or officers or rulers or whatever you want to call them, and I don't participate in that because I'm not a voter. I don't think I have a right to decide who the government of the United States is, because I'm working on another government, and that's the government of God. It astounds me when all the people I know who study the Bible don't get it that Jesus was preaching a government, a kind of government. If you read in Black's Law Dictionary, the church was established by Jesus Christ as one form of government. That's what it says, one form of government. And yes, that's what the church is. It's a government. It is the government of the kingdom of God appointed to the apostles. It does not exercise authority one over the other, because Christ forbid us from exercising authority one over the other. We were not to be like the rulers of the Gentiles, who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. The church is a benefactor of Christ. It manages the Corban of Christ. But the Corban of Christ, unlike the Corban of the Pharisees, is a voluntary system of faith, hope, and charity to take care of the needy of society. We know that if you create a legal system that compels the offerings of the people, you will get a different kind of society, a different kind of social structure. So Christ said that the Corban of the Pharisees, which depended upon compelled offerings, where you had to give in to the temple, to the ministers of the temple, who were going to take care of the widows and orphans and needy, your parents, whatever it is, they were going to take care of the needy of their society, in what could only be classified as impure religion, because we know that pure religion is to take care of the needy of your society unspotted by the world, and the word world there is constitutional order or system of government. So the world has its system of government, and Christ had his system of government, and now you know why the early church was persecuted, because those two systems of government are very much contrary to each other. And people take offense when you try to operate a system of faith, hope, and charity while they are dependent upon a system that forces their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. Because one system is covetous and the other one is not. Well, the system of the world in most countries requires or offers you the opportunity of voting. You actually get to vote in Russia for your ministers of your Corban there in Russia and many other countries. But you are actually required to vote there. You actually have to go and vote. Everybody has to vote. I believe Switzerland, they have to vote as well. I know they have a tremendous turnout. and I've been left with that impression, but maybe somebody can enlighten us and give us a call and tell us how they do it in other countries. But the Latin word that we get vote from is actually a word that means a vow, a formal of expression of opinion or choice, either positive or negative, made by an individual or body of individuals. The means by which such expression is made as a ballot, ticket, etc. So these are definitions of the word vote. And the Latin is very clear that that vote is a vow, a vowary, a votary. That's what we're dealing with when you go out and vote. And so what many people say to me is that if you don't vote, then you don't have a right to complain. Well, the reality is if you are a votarian, a person who is bound by solemn religious vow, a monk or a man, a votary, someone who is a part of a religious system of caring for your neighbor and your and the needy of your society through compelled offerings, then you are doing contrary to the ways of Christ. I hear people all the time, they have to obey government until it tells you to do something contrary to the will of God. Well, it is not the will of God that you force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That is coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. And recently in a Bible study, when I pointed that out, people were dumbfounded. One individual wanted to quickly get back and read the Bible. And I thought, what's the point of reading the Bible if you're not going to actually do what it says? It says we are not to covet our neighbor's goods, and yet the systems that men have created for themselves do exactly that. They covet their neighbor's goods, and we shouldn't do that. Frederick Bastiat wrote the book The Law back in 1850. It was published. And in it he says, when plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men, they create for themselves in the course of time a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. How many people have told you that the United States is the greatest country in the world? And then it has a system of Corbin identical to that of the Pharisees. Where the offerings of the people to care for the needy of their society are compelled. Christ was a socialist, but he didn't use a gun. He wanted you to be a socialist taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity without benefactors who exercise authority. He wanted you to choose to take care of the needy. And when you take care of those needy, he wanted you to do so through love, through faith, through hope, freely giving and freely receiving. And he wanted you to do so in a way that strengthened the poor, not made them weak. And so with those two concepts in mind, that's what the church is supposed to be doing. If you're going to raise your hand to the Lord, you need to actually be raising your hand, doing what he said, not just waving them up over your head. God's not impressed with people who wave empty hands over their head and do not do the will of the Father. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, not those who wave their hands, but those who actually do the will of the Father. This is what the early church was doing. This is what we should be doing. This is what we should be working and striving towards, because Christ said to strive. Christ said to seek. Seek not only the kingdom of God, the government of God, the way of God, but also seek the righteousness of God. And it is not righteous to enter into a contractual relationship, giving a third party the power to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Now, everybody's done that. We're so far away from the kingdom. It looks like an impossible trip back, but the longest journey begins with the first step. And that first step should not be taken until you turn around Don't just back away from the welfare of the world. Actually turn around and start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the next show, we're going to talk a little bit about how that's done. As the world continues to consolidate power in the hands of a few, the kingdom will distribute power in the hands of the many. Not in a collective democracy, which leads to socialism, but in a society composed of individuals, each individual having responsibility to one another. And that is the trick. That is the game plan of the kingdom of God, to give everyone an opportunity to exercise responsibilities. Because when you take back your responsibilities, you will get back your rights. If you don't do that, if you don't take back your responsibilities for yourself, for your children, for your wife, for your family, and for your neighbor in congregations, then you will not be free. So you have to make that choice. The choice is yours. You cannot change the course of history. You can only change your role in it. So in the next 2 hours on Liberty Radio Live, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be changing our course in history and how that can play out, how his church operates, how his church takes the vow to follow the ways of God, an individual vow answerable only to God. Each of us plays our part, makes our choices based on that vow, that desire, that zealousness to be the servant of God and do his will. So we have to figure out how we fit together like stones on an altar that cannot be chiseled, that cannot be struck with iron, cannot be controlled, cannot be manipulated. Each of us plays our part. One makes a choice here, another makes a choice there. And that's the role we must play. And how we play it? Well, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Each of us playing his part. Vote to enact, establish, determine, by vote, by vow, by doing a proposed law. What is the proposed law of God? That we shall not covet our neighbor's goods. Yet, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. So somehow or other, we must come together in a body. Not a corporate body, but a body bound by this mysterious spiritual power called love. Love is not a lust. It's a flow of God's grace in us. And with that grace comes his love. And Christ came to serve, not to be served. So when we gather together in congregations, free congregations, that's what we should be doing, figuring out how to serve one another. And each of us can do that. And we've developed a number of different ways that are absolutely legal in the world today, but don't look like your average everyday church. We're basically cell groups of congregations, and those congregations are free congregations or free assemblies. They're not corporate. You're not really a member of a congregation. You're simply a congregate. You've gathered together in this moment, in this time, to be a part of this congregation of congregants. And you pick a minister, and you give him something, because you think he will do the work of Christ. And by giving to him, you give to Christ. But you watch him. You oversee what he is doing, and you see, is he doing the will of Christ? And if he is, then give him some more next week. But if he's not, stop giving to him. How many people are tithing to ministers that are delivering them into bondage, teaching damnable heresies? That's what it says they're going to do. They're going to creep in and teach us damnable heresies that the Lord is not the Lord. They'll say, oh, no, he isn't coming yet. He failed. He was caught off guard because the Jews didn't accept him. Thousands accepted him. Thousands and thousands accepted him. That's all you need is a couple, and they had thousands. And that those men said, there is another king, one Jesus. And this is how the government of God works. And Paul won his case against Agrippa and Festus. But he appealed to Rome so that while his case was appealed to Rome, judges would hesitate to convict the Christian of not participating. That's what they were. They were non-participants. They were idiotes. All these things are covered in article after article on the website, at News with Views, in the books that are all available at hisholychurch.org. And it is amazing how many people have joined our network and have not read these books. They do not understand what we're doing. And even those that have been studying will have trouble eventually fitting their minds around and in this concept of the kingdom and how it works. How can you have a government based on loving one another? That is so strange. I thought government was forcing people to do this, that, or the other thing. Well, most governments are. But the government of God is not forcing your neighbor. It is not the government of Cain. It is the government of the Good Shepherd, who leads his sheep, and his sheep follow. They do their own eating, they do their own thing, and he maketh them to lie down in green pastures and leadeth them beside the still waters. In other words, God creates the habitation in which they make their choices. You don't tie sheep together and keep them in the field together. They learn to be gregarious and come together because it makes sense. Because they care, you cannot, if you care about one another, if you really love your neighbor, why would you be disappearing and going away and not participating in his striving, in his seeking the kingdom? Wouldn't you want to work together? Wouldn't you want to stick together? Wouldn't you want to make sure that everybody looked out for one another? Wouldn't you want to be a part of a buddy system times 10? That's what the congregations are. Free associations, which is absolutely legal. Practicing pure religion, which is absolutely legal. Giving cover to one another. The ministers are all naked. We have no power. We have no authority. What makes us a church? Well, Christ says we're a church, but what does that mean? Christ will not testify in court for us. Christ will not come to our aid. He expects you to do that. That is your service. And that's why in the Old Testament, they were to sew the breeches of the Levites, because they were naked. Under their garments, they were naked. They had no authority. They had no power to force anybody to contribute to anything. I guess somebody was telling me that Glenn Beck has been talking about, well, 10% was enough for God. Why do you have to have 20, 30, 40%? You have to pay 14% just in Social Security. And then income tax on top of that. And then property tax and sales tax. Why is that? Because we've become votaries. Because we have elected men who exercise authority one over the other to be our benefactors. You cannot do that and tell me you're a Christian. Because Christ said it was not to be that way with us. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he says it's not to be that way with us. So we're going to have to turn around. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to actually seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what the church is. It's the bureaucracy of God, established by his will through your love for one another. That is the ways of Christ. And if you say you believe in Christ, then you will keep his commandments and do as he says. If you are not doing as he says, then I do not believe that you believe in Christ. At least not yet. The devil believes that Christ is who he is. But he just doesn't do what he says. So it's not enough to believe that Jesus is who he said he was. You actually have to be seeking to do his will and do the will of the Father, because they are one and the same. And you cannot do that without the Holy Spirit guiding you, revealing to you your own failings as an individual, soul, created by God. We all fail. We all slip. We all stumble. Some of us repent. Some of us change our ways. Some of us turn around and try to follow that leading of the Holy Spirit so that we don't stumble next and we become perfected in that. So that's what we need to be doing, is coming together and electing ministers who do not exercise authority one over the other. Ministers who desire to be a benefactor to the people, who come to serve as Christ came to serve. You must find those people. And you must gather together because you care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. And if you do not take that vow, that vote, that action, and become the votary of Christ, then you will not be free. Because you are slothful in the ways of God, you will be under tribute. And the world will lead you into condemnation. It's a long road back, but Christ will make it quicken as time goes on. But we must determine the direction we are going. We're either going to Rome, to Babylon, or we're headed to the kingdom of God. If you want to head to the kingdom of God, hey, join us at hisholychurch.org and join the network, email network, and then pick a contact minister and start connecting. Start becoming doers of the word. Start helping one another, supporting one another, being there for one another, serving one another. We are all ministers. The minister can do nothing unless you minister to the minister. He is naked. He has no power. He has no authority. And most of us have little or no resources unless you give them to us. But you need to give them in love, not compensating for your sin. You can't do it. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough riches to compensate for your sin. But it's about direction. It's about choosing your direction. Which way are you going? Are you seeking the kingdom? Are you seeking righteousness? Are you seeking to do the will of the Father? If not, well, you better repent. You better change. You better turn around. You better start going the other way. And that way is to come together like Christ, in the name of Christ. That's what it means, in the name of Christ. Come to serve one another. And serve in as many different ways and as many different capacities as you can. You don't become a minister of 1,000 people or 100 people. You become the minister of 10. And you actually are just a servant. You're not sitting up there in the pulpit telling them what to believe. They are speaking. Each of them has a ministry, and it comes together and is freely given to you to help implement that. So that's where we need to go. That's what we need to be doing. That is how we become a part of the kingdom. And we would have a right to complain about the world, if the world had anything to do with us. We don't really have anything to do with it. We don't need it. We should not need it. It's the need for the world and the world government that brings us into trouble. We need to change that. And so that's part of that turning around. Now, we sent out an email, and actually I guess I'll probably be doing some more corrections. I'll send it out again. And we talked about the CAFRs, and that's a Comprehensive Annual financial report. And they have theirs, we have ours. Their government is huge and giant and big. Our government is based on the individual's responsibility and actions. It's not based on huge, giant bureaucracy. This is one of the things that came up recently in a local Bible study is, aren't we the government of the people, for the people, by the people? Well, you're not if you're electing rulers and leaders who are making laws and controlling you. That's not the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's the government of the people. It may or may not be for the people. Usually it's for special interests. And it's not government by the people. It's the government by rulers and bureaucracies. Government of, for, and by the people, or when the people take back their individual responsibility and they are the government. If there is a need, they provide it. They tax themselves. They are not taxed by their neighbor or by the bureaucracy their neighbors elected. They are taxed by themselves. They choose to give. Christ explained this in detail. How much can you give? I can only give this much, paid in full. He is explaining how the government of God works by free will offerings that you choose to give to those you see are real servants. And it was a network of these believers, these votaries, who make their choice to follow the ways of God rather than the ways of the world. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to repent and turn around and go the other direction? And what does that direction look like? What does his ways look like? Well, it looks like a lot of things that you haven't seen much of lately. But if you come together, you can start seeing the ways of the kingdom so that you can start seeking the ways of the kingdom and the righteousness of God. And start loving one another in real ways that really take care of you. You can do it more efficiently with less expense than the world it will demand of you. It's not about getting out of the system. It's not about getting out of Egypt. It's about getting into the ways of Christ. So that's what we recommend, is that you repent, that you turn around, you start heading towards Christ. See you on Liberty Radio Live.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.